Our speaker today is Dr. William Pierce, the chairman of the National Alliance, which is the world's foremost organization working for the long-term interest of white Americans and for people of European ancestry wherever they may live.
Hello. A background noise that seems never to go away is the constant whining and yammering of the Jews about how the world owes them a living because of their losses during the so-called Holocaust. They do it, of course, because they make such a big profit on it. The latest flare-up of this Jewish play for a handout came more than a year ago when they began demanding that the Swiss pay them $7 billion, which Holocaust victims allegedly had stashed in numbered Swiss accounts before being hauled off to gas chambers during the Second World War. With a few bought Gentile politicians fronting for them, the Jews threatened Switzerland with a boycott by the U.S. government if their demands were not met. Instead of laughing in their faces, telling the Jews to go to hell, and gearing up for countermeasures against Israel and other Jewish interests if the Jews tried to proceed with a boycott, the Swiss politicians tried to placate the Jews by offering to buy them off. The Jews took the Swiss response as a sign of weakness and escalated their demands. The average Swiss citizen seems to have a little more pride than Switzerland's elected officials, however, and resentment against the Jews' extortion efforts is building in Switzerland now to the point that some of that country's richest Jews are wearing bulletproof vests whenever they must go out in public. In general, however, this Holocaust-based extortion racket works quite well for the Jews, and they have expanded their demands for World War II reparations to include a number of other countries besides Switzerland. They are even whining that the Vatican owes them because Pope Pius XII didn't do enough to save them from the Germans during the war. The Jews' brazenness in this whole business is quite breathtaking. Their brazenness, of course, is justified because, by and large, they have been getting away with it. And they have been getting away with it because, with their media control, they've been able to distort the general public's whole perception of what happened during the Second World War. They've been able to portray themselves as innocent victims and just about everyone else as persecutors and aggressors, even the people who were fighting on the Jewish side against the Germans during the war. For example, they have done quite a bit of whining that after the Red Army drove the Germans from Poland, the Poles took the opportunity to lynch hundreds of Jews in 1945 and 1946, Jews whom the Germans somehow had failed to get rid of during their wartime occupation of Poland. Now, why would the Poles do something like that? Why would they lynch the poor Jews who had been on their side during the war? If you learned about the war from watching Steven Spielberg propaganda films and other mass media sources, you probably believe that it was because of religious anti-Semitism on the part of the Catholic Poles. Let me tell you the real reason why so many Poles hated Jews after the war. It's something the Jew-controlled media in America have tried hard to keep covered up. Let me tell you about what happened in the Katyn Forest in 1940. In September 1939, Poland was invaded from the west by Germany and from the east by the Soviet Union. The Germans wanted back the territory in western Poland, including the city of Danzig, which had been taken from them at the end of the First World War. The Soviets wanted eastern Poland. The Germans and the Soviets divided Poland between them, with the boundary running roughly along the River Bug. Britain and France, both under strong Jewish pressure, declared war on Germany in September 1939, ostensibly because of Germany's invasion of Poland. They did not declare war on the Soviet Union, which also had invaded Poland. In the United States and in Western Europe, where the Jews held a death grip on the mass media, a great deal of anti-German propaganda was based on the German grab for Polish territory, much of which, of course, actually was historically German territory. And nothing was said of the Soviet occupation and annexation of Eastern Poland. The reason for this anti-German and pro-Soviet bias by the Jewish media was that the Jews were riding high in the Soviet Union as commissars and Communist Party bosses under Stalin. While in Germany, Hitler had undertaken a program since 1933 of freeing Germany from all Jewish influence. Jews had been weeded out of the media, the law, the schools, and other areas of economic and cultural life in Germany. Before Hitler became chancellor in 1933, the Jews had done in Germany what they do in every country where they gain a foothold. They had monopolized large sections of the mass media and certain professions and were doing their best to distort German culture, German society, and the German economy to suit themselves. Hitler put a stop to that, and two-thirds of the 1933 Jewish population of Germany had immigrated by the invasion of Poland in September 1939. So the Jews hated Germany and were determined to do whatever they could to destroy her. For his part, Hitler hoped to avoid war with Britain and France. He hoped that after his quick victory in Western Poland, he could make peace with Britain and France. He was determined, however, to stamp out communism wherever he encountered it. Not only did he hate communism on ideological grounds, but he had sworn to fight communism when the communists in Germany betrayed his country at the end of the First World War. Hitler also saw the Soviet Union as a threat to all of Europe, and he was determined to break the power of that country when he could, even though there was an uneasy non-aggression pact between Germany and the Soviet Union in 1939 at the time of their partition of Poland. In the spring of 1941, massive troop movements and other developments inside the Soviet Union convinced Hitler that Stalin was preparing to invade the West with the Red Army. And so in June 1941, Hitler made a preemptive strike. German forces smashed through the Red Army and made rapid advances, first through Soviet-occupied eastern Poland, and then through Ukraine and into Russia. A year and a half later, in February 1943, German forces near Smolensk in western Russia investigated reports they heard from Russian civilians to the effect that a large number of prisoners had been murdered by the Soviet secret police in the area nearly 3 years earlier. The German investigators were led by local Russians to a series of mounds in a wooded area known locally as Katyn Forest, about 10 miles west of Smolensk. The forest is named for a village, Katyn, which it surrounds. The forest had been privately owned prior to the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917, but after the communist takeover of Russia, the area had been confiscated by the government, and part of the forest had been turned over to the NKVD, the Soviet equivalent of the American FBI. The Germans began digging in the mounds in the Katyn Forest and made a horrible discovery. They found corpse after corpse, each with its hands bound behind its back and a bullet hole in the base of its skull. They continued their excavations for more than a month and eventually uncovered more than 4,000 corpses. Other bodies may have remained buried in other mounds, but the Germans had no time to dig up the whole forest. Instead, they called in the International Red Cross and representatives of various neutral countries to examine their findings. They also brought in groups of Allied prisoners of war, including Americans, from prison camps in Germany to view the graves in the Katyn Forest. They gave these international inspectors complete freedom to examine the exhumed bodies, permitted doctors among them to conduct autopsies, even allowed them to dig up other bodies from one of the mounds which had not been completely excavated. The Germans asked only that the inspectors report back truthfully to their own governments about their observations. And in fact, most of them did. What they reported was that the bodies were those of Polish military officers, along with a number of civilian, cultural, and business leaders and intellectuals, scientists, writers, poets, who had been in the portion of Poland occupied by the Soviet Union in September 1939. Altogether, the Soviet secret police had rounded up some 15,000 Polish leaders in 1939, including nearly half of the entire Polish officers' corps, the half that had had the misfortune of being in eastern Poland at the time, and put them in three concentration camps in Russia, at Starobelsk, Kozelsk, and Ostashkov. All of the bodies unearthed in the Katyn Forest were of Polish leaders who had been confined at one of these camps, Starobelsk. Rounding up a country's leaders and killing them was standard practice for the communists. The theory was that the leaders were bourgeois oppressors of the working class and therefore deserved to die. As egalitarians, the communists did not regard the Polish officers and intellectuals as inherently better or more valuable human material than the average Polish criminal or welfare bum. The officers had simply used their class advantage to gain a better lifestyle for themselves. Of course, no one really believed that theory, except the criminals and welfare bums and other resentful losers and ne'er-do-wells who made up the natural communist constituency. As a practical matter, however, killing all the leaders and potential leaders of a conquered people made them easier to govern. That's what the Marxists had done in Russia, Ukraine, and the Baltic countries. In the case of the Poles, there was a bit of a diplomatic problem, though. The Poles supported the war Britain and France had declared against Germany, purportedly on their behalf, because they viewed that as their one hope for getting back at least the western part of their country. They were not happy about the Russians taking the eastern part of Poland, but the Russians, at least, were fellow Slavs. The thing to do was get rid of the Germans first and then worry about the Russians. This Polish strategy suited Stalin fine, but it made it desirable for him to avoid alienating the Poles any more than necessary. When Polish exiles asked about their imprisoned leaders in late 1939 and early 1940, the Soviet government promised that they would be released shortly. Meanwhile, the decision had been made to kill all of them. And so in April 1940, the Polish leaders were taken from the three camps where they had been imprisoned, trucked off to various liquidation sites, and murdered. The ones who had been imprisoned at Starobelsk all went to the NKVD area of the Katyn Forest. After the war, some of the NKVD executioners were interviewed in Israel and described how they had carried out the killings. The Poles were driven up to the burial pits in long NKVD prison trucks known as Black Ravens. They were pulled from the trucks one at a time by NKVD guards. Each Polish prisoner had his hands bound behind his back and then was dragged to the edge of a pit. There he was held by two NKVD men while a third fired a pistol bullet into the back of his head. Some of the officers had their coats pulled over their heads to keep them from seeing what was happening before they were shot. Some struggled and were bayoneted by NKVD guards before being shot and thrown into the pit. When all of the officers from Starobelsk had been killed, some 4,400 of them, the Katyn Forest burial pits were covered with dirt and pine trees were planted on them. The locations of the mass graves of the prisoners from the camps at Kozelsk and Ostashkov remain unknown, but none of the 15,000 Polish officers and intellectuals rounded up by the NKVD in September 1939 was seen alive after April 1940. The Red Cross representatives and the Allied prisoners the Germans brought in to examine the mass graves in the Katyn Forest understood after their examination not only who had been killed, they also understood who had killed them. This was apparent not only from the medical estimates of the length of time the bodies had been buried, but also from documentary evidence on the bodies, diaries, news clippings, letters, and other personal papers removed from the clothing of the victims, all told the same story. The latest dates on any of these papers were from mid-April 1940. The Polish leaders had been killed in April 1940 when they were prisoners of the Soviet Union and when the Katyn region was under Soviet control. And this is what they reported back to their governments. So, what do you think happened? Were the British and American governments horrified to discover that their gallant Soviet ally, as the Soviet Union was referred to by the mass media, was a mass murderer? Did the British government, which had gone to war against Germany under the pretext of defending Poland, decide that it had made a mistake? Did anyone condemn the Soviet Union for this act of genocide against the Poles? Of course not. The Allied governments ordered their people who had inspected the Katyn site to keep their mouths shut, and the Jewish media immediately began announcing that the Germans had done it. A mass murder of Polish officers and intellectuals by the Nazis had been discovered in the Katyn Forest, the New York Times and the rest of the Jewish media shrieked. Poor Poles, wicked Germans. The war must go on to free the poor Poles and punish the wicked Germans. And the war did go on, killing millions of more Germans, British, Americans, and other Europeans. And the Germans were indeed punished. The Poles, of course, were not freed. Instead, they were turned over to the Reds, who had butchered their leaders in the Katyn Forest and made to suffer under communist rule for half a century. The war went on after the German discovery of the mass graves in the Katyn Forest because its purpose from the beginning was not to free Poland, but to destroy Germany, which had dared to free itself from the Jews. Roosevelt understood this. Churchill understood this. But the American and British people didn't understand it, of course, because they were lied to by the Jewish media and by their own governments. The lies about Katyn were maintained by the media for some years after the end of the war, because these lies meshed nicely with the Holocaust story, which was making so much money for the Jews. Nowadays, of course, the truth about the Katyn murders is generally accepted by historians everywhere. You can go into almost any large library and read about it and even see the gruesome photographs that the Germans took of the Polish bodies they dug up. One of several authoritative books on the subject is J.K. Zawadny's Death in the Forest, The Story of the Katyn Forest Massacre, published in 1962 by the University of Notre Dame Press. None of this is publicized a la Steven Spielberg, of course, for the illumination of American television audiences. It still might undermine the Jews' Holocaust racket. 1945 and 1946, although the deceived citizens of the Western world didn't know the truth about Katyn, Polish patriots did. The word had gotten back to the Polish prisoners in German camps from the Poles the Germans had taken to examine the graves. After the war, when these Polish prisoners were freed, the word spread to other Poles. They knew that it was the communists, not the Nazis, who had murdered their leaders, who had beheaded their nation. And they knew who was behind communism, from the Jew Karl Marx, who had started the whole business, up to the Jewish commissars who lorded it over them in Soviet-occupied Poland. They knew who had welcomed their Soviet conquerors and then collaborated with those conquerors. And so it is hardly surprising that in 1945 and 1946, a few Polish patriots organized lynchings of Jews in Poland before the Reds had a chance to clamp down on all of Poland and suppress any further expressions of anti-communist or anti-Jewish feeling. No, the Polish dislike of Jews isn't surprising. What is surprising is that so few patriots in America and Britain have expressed their outrage against the Jews, not only for what they did to the Poles during and after the war, but for what they have done to us, lying to us and using us to wage their wars for them. If patriots study the Katyn story and take its lesson to heart, they will understand why they cannot trust either the mass media or any government which dances to the tune played by the media. Anyway, you might remember Katyn the next time you hear the Jews or some of their bought politicians whining about how much gold was stolen from them by the Swiss, or how badly the Poles and the Germans treated them during the Second World War. Thanks for being with me again today.
You have been listening to a presentation of American Dissident Voices. The speaker was Dr. William Pierce, chairman of the National Alliance. The program was sponsored as a public service by National Vanguard Books, America's foremost supplier of patriotic books and tapes. For $2, we'll send you our newest 72-page illustrated catalog with descriptions and ordering information for more than 600 books and tapes of interest to patriots. Many of the items in the National Vanguard Books catalog are available nowhere else. Our mailing address is National Vanguard Books, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.